Off the ball
on News Talk
in association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.
Yeah, 53106 for 30 Sanders. Our text number, if you want to get in touch, you can tweet us at Off the Ball. John Giles, good evening, sir.
Good evening. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, John. Not a bother on me.
Good.
John, a few things I want to get into with you. One is in particular is the situation at Liverpool, and well, it's not exactly a new story that they're struggling to keep the goals out at the defensive end, but there was just some very interesting comments from Sean Dyche after Burnley were there at the weekend and left with a point, and it was about a couple of accusations that were levelled at Burnley about playing it too much of a long ball game. And he said there was a very good reason why we did that. We deliberately got the ball and got it as far down their throat as we could because we felt it would be effective. The general feeling around here is that they haven't found a way of dealing with set pieces. We have to look at that. That's our job. It would be naive not to. So every time we got a set piece, it went into their box, but that is good game planning. This is another Premier League manager openly questioning Liverpool's inability to defend on the back of four games in which they've looked wide open, and Jurgen Klopp himself is talking about how sick he is at the type of defensive goals they're conceding. This does not look like it's going to get any better anytime soon.
Well, I read the comments the same as you did, and the comment went on to say in another part of the paper I read, which was more important actually, what he said then later on. The first goal was the second ball for after corner, and the only thing he can do is to push up. We didn't. The second one is to throw in, and everybody can imagine we know how to defend them, but again, we didn't. That we conceded like this makes me really, really sick. Now, when you read those comments, from what I can read there, Dave, is that he's passing the blame onto the players. And the last thing a manager do should that, because he's been there for 18 months, he's responsible for how they defend and the way they should defend. And I think when the players read that, they say, what's happening here? You know, he's not taking any of the blame and we're taking all the blame. Now, this is the first time he's done that. You know, people like myself and you and everybody else can criticise the defending, but the manager shouldn't be getting on to about his own players. And I think one of the things that reading it, he says here, the first goal was the second ball after corner, and the only thing you can do is to push up. We didn't. Actually, it's not the only thing you can do in this situation. Now, in my humble opinion, when I was told when I was coming into the game, don't rush up until the ball is cleared. Now, what Liverpool did, the ball wasn't cleared, and they're still rushing up. So what you have to do is wait, hold your ground. You don't have to rush out of the penalty. There's plenty of players back to defend the ball when it comes in, if it's going to come in, until it's actually cleared. And that hasn't been the case with Liverpool. Obviously, the policy is, if it's half cleared, you get out anyway to put the players offside. And that's not all. That's not what he's saying. That's the only way. And I think it shows he's actually lacking knowledge, if that's the right word, to the way that Liverpool defend.
They're not.
Does that make sense?
No, absolutely it does. They're not defending in any better way than they were under Brendan Rodgers. And Jurgen Klopp has had his feet under the table for a significant period of time now. When you hear, and this, I get the sense this is something that struck you about this more than anything else, when you hear comments from a manager which do imply that he's publicly putting all of the blame onto the players, what does that tell you about the atmosphere and the situation there?
Well, it can't be good. I mean, nobody knows what the atmosphere is like, but in my experience in football, it's the last thing that a manager should do is to publicly criticise his players. Of course, when he has them in the dressing room, he can say what he likes them, but it stays in the dressing room. But if you're public doing him, what he's saying, it's making me sick, losing these goals, as if it's nothing to do with him. He's in charge of it. And the second thing I said there, the only way to do it, actually shows up his lack of knowledge, in my opinion, of how to defend, because he's talking about the second ball when the ball's half cleared. Well, you know, it should be common sense that you have to wait until the ball is cleared. But he's not. He's saying, well, as soon as the ball is half cleared, get out. And it doesn't make sense, Dave. The way to do it is to wait until the defenders themselves, if they're told by the manager, don't rush out to play offside until or get out of the penalty area until the ball is actually cleared. You know, whether it goes out with a throw-in or as well up the pitch, then you get out. But the other night, the ball wasn't cleared. I mean, cleared is when you have full control of the ball or the ball goes a long distance. But he's saying that's the only way to do it. So that's what he must believe himself. So even though they lost the goal the other night, if it happens again, that's what he's going to do. And that's what he's been doing for the last 18 months. So you're actually, the mistakes are repetitive. Whereas what managers do is when you make one mistake, it doesn't happen again. You make sure it doesn't happen again. So I think that's it's a telling thing, and it's very, very important that he's publicly criticising the players.
It's all down to how the players choose to take those comments and how they choose to react to those comments. Were you ever part of a team where after a game which didn't go so well, your manager was pretty much abdicating all responsibility for the result and the performance and one or two mistakes that occurred during that performance?
No, I never played under a manager. I was very, very lucky. Most of my career I played under Matt Busby and Don Revie. Matt Busby for what, 6 or 7 years, and then Don Revie for 11 years. And neither of those, they were great managers, ever did that, ever. They would Don Revie and Matt Busby in his own way would have a right go in the dressing room and have a right go at the person who's responsible for the mistake, most of the time, not all of the time, because sometimes you can't do anything about it. But I never, at the time I played at Manchester or under Don Revie at Leeds, did they ever criticise the players publicly or not take responsibility for the results.
He has said, club, as long as we concede goals like we conceded today, and this is still with regard to the Leicester game, then it is quite difficult. When you get to the point where you've got other managers, and Sean Dyche certainly isn't a manager that would be prone to overly controversial comments from time to time. He's generally fairly measured in what he says, but where he's openly talking about Liverpool and how poor they are at the back and how it was very much their plan to go to Anfield and exploit them in that specific way. That's a little bit of a new departure.
He inferred that. He didn't actually say they were bad at the back. But I think he might. I think Dyche, I like Dyche. He's a very straightforward fella. I think he was asked to justify his long ball tactics.
He specifically said the general feeling around here is that they have not found a way of dealing with set pieces. That's pretty blunt.
Well, yeah. He would have been asked in a certain way, but I think what he was asked about, or maybe it was somebody criticising about his long ball game.
Yeah,
that's where I think.
It came from. That was the original.
Well, that would be the original question. So he would be justifying that. I don't think he'd be going out of his way to criticise Liverpool and the way in which they defend. He would actually be defending himself and his own tactics, which is fair enough. But what he was saying was true. I mean, Liverpool, and it's well known, he's not just saying it, they do not defend well. And what I'm trying to say is the comments by Klopp after the next match against Leicester, you can probably say, well, I can see why. If he is saying that the only way to defend is when you not to get out, as it were, I haven't got the words in my head at the moment, then it shows that the only way to do it, he said, is to get out. But it's not the only way to do it. In fact, I think it's the wrong way to do it. I think that traditionally, in the managers I played under, you do not get out to play offside until the ball is clear, or get out of the penalty area until the ball is cleared. Now, if you go back to the Leicester goal, the ball actually wasn't cleared, and other matches the ball wasn't cleared, when they're running out. And you find somewhere along the way, somebody hasn't got out quickly enough, and the ball's but if you hold your ground, you still have to be beaten. And that hasn't happened. But what he's saying, which I think is very revealing, is that that's the only way to do it. And in fact, in my humble opinion, it's the wrong way to do it.
Yeah, when the ball was cleared, it kind of made its way about 25 yards out from goal. But I take your point in that there isn't only one way to defend these situations.
No, the main thing there, David, it might be 25 yards, but the ball wasn't cleared. I mean, that was a 50-50 ball that Leicester won back. So what you do is you hold your ground and then you defend that. If it's cleared and it goes out for the throw-in, out way out in the halfway line, then you get out. You do clear your penalty area then. You get out behind the ball. But you don't get out until it's actually cleared. And the ball against Leicester and other games where the ball is not cleared and that out. And then they're waiting for somebody to depend on getting offside then. And that doesn't happen because all the players don't get out at the same time. So the policy should be do not get out of your defensive positions until the ball is cleared. That's out at the halfway line or out for a throw-in, then you get out as quickly as you can then to back up the ball.
They went through that horrible run over the Christmas period last season that put them out of the title race, and it was only some really good form in the final third of the campaign that saw them make their way into the top four. They're without a win in four now, John. Six of their next seven games are away from home, and the home game is against Manchester United at Anfield. They have to go to Tottenham. They have to go to Spartak Moscow and Maribor in the Champions League. They have to go to Newcastle. Their next game, funnily enough, is Leicester this weekend in the Premier League away from home. Given that they're without a win in four already before they embark on that run, and they haven't kept a clean sheet since they beat Arsenal at the end of August, would you fear for Liverpool over the next 4 or 5 weeks?
Well, again, you know, the fixtures are on paper. The thing is with Liverpool, they're inconsistent, David. I wouldn't be shocked if they went and won the next four. I think they're going to be like that because, I mean, they're not all bad, Liverpool. Going forward, they're absolutely brilliant. But you're not going to be going forward all the time, and basic defending, they're not so good at that. But they are a team that can go on a run. You see, football is like this, teams can make basic mistakes, and you get away with it. You can get away for 3 matches, 4 matches, 5 matches, but somehow along the line, you're going to be caught out. And that's called inconsistency, as we know. Liverpool are inconsistent, but they can be brilliant. I mean, if you go back to the Manchester City match where they lost 5 goals, actually, the match should have been at one stage 3-1 to Liverpool before they lost the man and they were down to 10 men. Then they had to defend and couldn't defend properly. But before the man was sent off, I know Manchester City scored while they had 11 players on the pitch. But during that period of time, Liverpool should have been 3-1 up on City.
Yeah, they created some great opportunities.
With the consistency, Dave, you see, you can have faults at the back in football. And for 5 matches, that fault is not exposed. But somewhere along the line, it will be exposed. And the more faults you have, they will be exposed. But you could go, like Liverpool at the end of last season, I think went 4 matches without conceding a goal.
Yeah.
And they had the run in. So they are capable of doing that, and they're brilliant going forward. They're capable of getting away with it for a few. It's getting away with it rather than doing it. But things can happen. We can talk in a few weeks' time after these matches have been played, Dave. And I'm telling you now, you'll be amazed, and most people, and myself included, will be amazed at the results and maybe one or two clean sheets from Liverpool.
Yeah.
That's the way football works, you know?
And it's that like
a consistent team, you see, the consistent teams, I always believe it starts from the back. Don't give goals away easily. Now you have to concede less goals. But there'll be a consistency about your performance, and there will be a consistency about your results. Mm-hmm. That's what Chelsea did last year. That's what Spurs did, two of the best defensive teams. And I think Manchester United this year will be more consistent than most of the other teams because there's an emphasis on defending properly.
Arsenal, on the other hand, looked incredibly well set up at Stamford Bridge at the weekend. They were probably the better of the two teams, had the better chances. Aaron Ramsey and Granit Xhaka in the middle of the field gave the back four a really solid, or the back three as it was, a really solid platform. And you just wonder, and I'm sure a lot of this was done in the build-up to the game, this wasn't just coincidence that Arsenal played as well as they did. Why doesn't that happen more often?
Well, one of the reasons it didn't happen, there was no Ozil. There was no Chamberlain. There was no Walcott in the team. I think they've been three of the main culprits why Arsenal haven't done well. And there was a good team spirit about them and a sense of purpose about them that I don't think you can have. I know Chamberlain's gone to Liverpool now, but he played quite a while for Arsenal. And I think that those three players have been three of the main culprits in not having the sense of purpose that Arsenal showed last week in the match. There was a team spirit about them and there was a will to do it. That's your starting point. And I don't think they ever had that will with Ozil playing as one of the main players and Chamberlain and Walcott for that matter.
So no coincidence that it was Danny Welbeck and Alex Iwobi that were playing in those two wide positions, those two covering positions.
Yeah, and the midfield.
And the midfield. So
yeah, all the players that went on the pitch for Arsenal had a go. And that's your starting point. And in my opinion, there's been over a long period of time that the likes of Walcott, Chamberlain and Ozil in particular don't have a go, Dave.
Okay.
That's your starting point.
Few texts to throw to you, John. I'm an Everton supporter and damn worried. Where does the rot stop, says one of our texters.
Well, it might have stopped last night.
Maybe,
they won a,
yeah.
They won a match last night. I thought they were a bit unlucky in many ways against United last week. I think the scoreline was a very, very false definitely was in Manchester United's favour. They scored 3 goals in the last 3 minutes. And the goalkeeper made a couple of good saves. And the United keeper, De Gea, made a good couple of good saves from Rooney and Schneiderlin. It wasn't a 4-0 defeat. Mm.
And that's happened to a number of clubs at the hand of United already this season. Happened Swansea and West Ham as well.
Yes.
John, an interesting text
for United, but I wouldn't be too down on Everton. I'd give them a bit more time.
And they've had a very tough start of the season. They've had to play United and City and Chelsea. Kevin and Granard says, did John see it during the week? Wondering if he ever came across anything like Neymar and Alves ganging up in Cavani to take the penalties and free kicks away from him like we saw during the week. Seemed like bullying to me. I'm not sure if you saw the footage, John, but it looked pretty clear in the clips that there was something premeditated about the manner in which Dani Alves was ensuring that Edinson Cavani didn't get his hands on the ball to take the set pieces. And it was a very clandestine manner in which he passed the ball to Neymar. And turning his back on Cavani, and it did look like something that just made your stomach churn. And it did look like bullying to me, to be honest. And I just wonder, whatever about something as premeditated as that, you must have been part of teams where a couple of the dead ball specialists or the attacking players felt they should be on penalties, they should be on free kicks, and there was a little bit of an incident actually out on the field.
Well, I never came across that, to be quite honest. Manchester United, for example, when I played at Manchester United, there was only one player going to take the free kicks, and that was Bobby Charlton. When I played at Leeds, there was only one player going to take the free kicks, it was Peter Norimer. Nobody would even try to take it with those players taking. They were the best kickers of the ball, the best chance of scoring. I never came across that, actually, Dave, in my playing career, that some players would gang up on a teammate. I never came across that.
And maybe just as troubling was the response by their manager, Unai Emery, afterwards. He was asked about it and he said, the players will sort it out themselves.
It comes from the manager. You know, like if a team was well run, he would make sure from the time he started that this type of thing just will not be tolerated. And the fact now, again, we don't know what he said in the dressing room after the match the other night, but publicly he's saying, he condones it. Now, that can only get worse if that is the case. The manager has to manage, and every player has to be part of the team, and that shouldn't be tolerated in any way whatsoever. So we don't know what he said publicly, but even beforehand, it shouldn't even happen. As soon as the players come into under his control, he should say, in no way will I tolerate any behaviour that's not in the best interest of the team.
I wonder, is Unai...
That's a no-go area.
Is Unai Emery of the opinion maybe that Neymar is going to be at the club a lot longer than he is and he's not really in a position to be taking him on?
Well, there's nothing surer that he'd be there in a shorter time if he allows this to go on. Because if he gets aggravation among the players and jealousy but the players just will not play for each other and he will suffer because the results won't be good. So he's a very, very foolish man if he thinks that he's going to let this happen. Because he's not going to be there for a long time. If he thinks he's going to be there for 12 months, he won't be there for 6 months if he allows this to happen.
Finally, John, we've 60 seconds left, and I know you were on News Talk Breakfast yesterday, but a couple of our listeners wondering on your thoughts on Jimmy and his passing yesterday, what your dealings were with him.
Well, I know Jimmy a long time. We go back a long time. And he was over for Leeds for lots of matches. Got to know Jimmy very, very well. He was a genuine lover of sports, and I think soccer in particular. And I think he's a sad loss.
Absolutely. Hear, hear. John, listen, thanks a million. We'll chat to you next
week.
Thanks,
Dave.
Off the ball on News Talk.
In association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.